Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with Dr. Roger Anderberg, who's a member of Christ the King Parish here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. He's a retired pediatrician. I've known Roger for a long time, and he's lived such an amazing life, he and his lovely wife, Lori, as Catholics and just very fervent disciples. And they've seen a lot of God's blessing, but also a lot of difficulty and hardship in their life. And I asked Roger to come, and today we wanted to just share a little bit about their journey and how they've had to face real tragedy. I think more tragedy than a lot of people in life ever have to experience. And so, Roger, welcome back.
Thanks, Peter.
Yeah, so you mentioned yesterday about the outreach to Nicaragua, that you started a clinic there, a free clinic, named after your son, Tim. You mentioned that Tim had died. Would you mind just sharing with us that story and kind of how it affected you? And then,
right. So we're just gotten back from Nicaragua the next weekend on a Saturday night. We're asleep. We get this phone call from New York, and the doctor's telling me that Tim's been hit by a car. He was just walking across the street, and that he's in a coma, and that it's mortal. I mean, that it's serious.
How old was Tim at
24.
This time? He was 24.
Yeah.
He was in
New
York
College.
City. He was in New York City. What were they?
Well,
what happened there? Like, what was it?
They were in a, you know, visiting New York. He was living in Maryland, but he was just visiting in New York, and they were visiting some friends for a birthday party or something, walking across the street, and, you know, struck down. And so we're like, wow, you know. And so we gathered the kids. Charlie was in Hawaii, and Christy was in Cleveland, and we had to find everybody and get there. But, you know, one of the things that really strikes me about it, as I was praying about sharing, is we don't know when suffering is going to strike. We don't know that. It's a lot like the two foundations, the rock or sand.
Yeah.
The storm hits in that scripture, and it's sometimes you don't really have a lot of time to prepare. It's just on you.
Yeah, like Tim was like 25 or something. Was he in his 20s? He was a healthy, athletic,
great
really
guy,
big personality.
Wonderful.
Yeah, all that.
Wonderful
son. You know, you're the last person to think anything
would
happen to him for some reason, right?
Never.
So,
No, but we prepare for suffering every day. That's what I say.
Yeah.
And it's not like I go around thinking, what am I going to suffer today? That's not what I mean. What I mean is we prepare for suffering every day as we pray, faithful prayer every day. We read the scriptures. We go to Mass. We do all those normal Christian-like things, but that is what prepares us for suffering.
Because that's the
need
that's
to
the,
be.
The, you said built on a rock or built on a sand. That's what you mean to build your building your life on that rock each day.
Yes,
you're strengthening that foundation. Why does that prepare you? I mean, in some ways, it's self-evident.
Right.
But what are those daily habits?
Yes. Well, first of all,
prepare
it's what
you.
Jesus said.
Yeah. Okay.
He said, "The one who hears me and acts on it is the one who's building on the rock." Okay,
yeah.
Sometimes you just think it's just hearing. You know?
Yeah.
See, he didn't say that.
No, he did he was pretty insistent that we do it.
Yes,
didn't he say that?
Exactly.
Like,
right.
We obey him.
But
it's so important.
You know, we bury that word in our heart. We bury it. We hear that word of God and we take it in and really remember it and hold on to it. That's how we bear fruit. That's what it's, you know, the parable says. The parable says we bear fruit by hearing the word of God, holding on to it, enduring patiently in that word. So so I think that's critical. And we, you know, we have to remember that when something happens like that, it's really what St. Ignatius would call desolation for sure. Mm-hmm. So he says, consolation, when we're in, everything's great, we're all happy, that's the time to prepare for desolation. That's the time when you do this. And when you're in desolation, then the first thing one of the first things you want to think about is, what am I thinking? Where's my mind going? You know, and the devil is going to be there speaking to you loudly in your ear.
So you picked up, you and Lori got Charlie and Christy.
Yeah.
And you're in New York.
We're there, and it's intense suffering. It's awful. I mean, it's just beyond description that he's there and that he's dying. But, you know, we had each other and we had God, and so we, you know, we really were together there with him when he died and went through it. And I think The thing is, you don't get over that entirely. Right. That's something that's just there, that yeah. sadness, that suffering. But God really was faithful to us to carry us through that time. We had to really focus our eyes on Him and each other and hold tight to each other and hold tight to God and hold tight to His faithfulness. So I don't know why Tim died. I still don't. Mm-hmm. And so the important thing is not that. I think the important thing is, what does God want us to do? How does He want me to respond? Okay, that's the way I've always lived my life. When I am facing some sort of difficulty, trial, or any kind of a decision, I want to know what God says. What is He saying to me about this situation? Mm. Because that's what counts. What counts is what He's telling me, and that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. That's why if we don't know Scripture, the Holy Spirit can't teach us anything. It's got to be there in us, and the Holy Spirit can bring up those Scriptures to say, look, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. That's the last chapter of Hebrews 13, you know, and say, that's it.
Did you have moments when you, Lord, together, where you just, in that moment, you feel a bit like Job crying out to God, like, where are you? Like,
oh, yes.
What's going on here?
Right, exactly. I think that's a normal response. God's deserted me.
Yeah.
But we need to stop and say that's not the case. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It feels like it, for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the Psalms, you know, they're great that way. The psalmist was very free to express his anger, his misunderstanding, not getting where God
was, confusion,
feeling
fear,
lost. Well, it's very isolating. I think suffering is very isolating. You know, it's hard for anybody else to know what that's like.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. But sharing that with each other and going through it together, you know, and I think men and women go through it very differently. You know, they do. But God was there. God was there with us to faithfully bring us through that and to continue to bring us through it every day. We missed Him. We pray for Him, you know, and ask for Him to pray for us. But, you know, it's not all just up in the air, for sure.
Right.
But I think that's where, you know, one of the things I appreciate about the Catholic faith is its approach to suffering. I didn't have any approach in my Protestant faith. There was not anybody that ever preached on suffering, or when Paul said, you know, I unite my sufferings with Christ. I make up for what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. I mean, you know, I never heard anybody preach on that one.
What does that mean to you when you say that teaching helped you? What about it specifically
helped
you?
Well, one of the struggles with suffering is not knowing that it has any value. This is just useless, stupid suffering. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I've had two cancer surgeries, two different heart procedures, you know, arthritis in my back, you know, my knee probably needs to be, you know, I got a lot of stuff here, you know, and it can seem like, good night, this is senseless. But that is a very real frustration. And I think that I pray the morning offering every day.
What's the morning offering?
Oh, Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you all my prayers, works, my joys, my sufferings of this day for all the intentions of your most sacred heart in union with the holy sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world. So when I go to daily Mass every day, I'm looking at that paten when the priest holds that paten up, and I'm saying, that's me. That's my prayers, my works, my joys, my sufferings. I'm uniting them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm uniting them to Jesus. You know, the greatest thing I've seen on suffering is the Pope's encyclical on the Christian meaning of human suffering. And he says some very startling statements.
This St. John Paul II
Saint
wrote
John
that, right?
St. John Paul II. Yeah. His encyclical is called On the Christian Meaning of Human Suffering, the best I've seen on suffering. Therefore, he is carrying out an irreplaceable service, the person that's suffering. In the body of Christ, which is ceaselessly born of the cross of the Redeemer, it is precisely suffering, permeated by the spirit of Christ's sacrifice, that is the irreplaceable mediator and author of the good things that are indispensable for the world's salvation. And this is one of my favorite statements. It is suffering, more than anything else, which clears the way for the grace which transforms human souls. Suffering, more than anything else, makes present in the history of humanity the powers of the redemption. And I experience that. Suffering is really, it's like a plow. It levels the ground. You are down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, it helps me to know I don't have any place to turn but God.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I've got nothing in me that will help me get through this suffering but God.
I have no resources. Like, and there's no distractions or the things that were so much fun. And now, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ball games, this, that, and the other thing. Nothing touches you when you're suffering at that level.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
You can't. That's just there. And, he calls it the gospel of suffering.
The good news of suffering.
Yes, good news of suffering. He calls it that. He says it's a vocation. Christ, it's a vocation. It's a call. Christ is saying, follow me. Come follow me. Come take up your cross and follow me,
There's this Catholic reality. You talk about offering up your suffering for the sins of the world, too.
Redemption of the world.
Yeah. Yes. How about that?
No, it has meaning. It's not useless. It is going for something. So he says the gospel of suffering is being written unceasingly. That's all of us every day. And it speaks unceasingly with the words of a strange paradox. The springs of divine power gush forth precisely in the midst of human weakness. Those who share in the sufferings of Christ preserve in their own sufferings a very special particle of the infinite treasure of the world's redemption and can share this treasure with others.
Yeah.
Our sufferings are a particle, of that. It's just part of Christ's sufferings, but we can offer that. And so I think those statements are encouraging to me that it has meaning. It's not useless, and it still hurts. This hurts, okay?
Yeah.
It hurts.
Yeah.
But
it's hard to even talk about it, and I really, really appreciate you being willing to share
that
whole experience because I think every adult I've ever met who's lost a child, whose child has died, whatever age, it's something they say that it never leaves you.
No.
You know?
No. No.
And but thank God for eternity. Thank God that,
Right. Right.
He's conquered it all. He's conquered death, right?
Well, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And then we lost Charlie. Charlie, is the older brother. He really went through a bad time with alcoholism after Tim died. It just really drew him down. But then he recovered, and he went back to graduate school, got his degree in social work, got a master's in social work. He was working at the VA helping homeless vets. And it just overwhelmed him, and he took his own life. So we had lost another
son. Yeah. It's an amazing tragedy. Well, tomorrow, can you be with us again tomorrow? Because I just noticed we're running out of
ready
time.
To go.
And, this is so significant. Friends, I just want you to know, Roger and I want you to know, and I hope you can hear through his story today, that Jesus said, I'm with you always until the end of the age. And he knows your suffering. Your suffering is meaning. Unite your heart to him. Unite it all to him. And he will lead you through. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.